Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. Happy New Year to all of our listeners. We're going to be discussing markets and a number of UK equities. And to do that, we're kindly joined by Alan Green. Alan, thank you much for being with us today and Happy New Year.
Thank you, John, and a very Happy New Year to you and all of your listeners. It's been a funny Christmas, but quite glad we're past it now and into the new year.
We definitely started the new year with a bang, Alan, looking at the FTSE 100 in the first few days of trading. We did see some very strong gains there. We are down slightly today, but we'll get a little bit into that and why that's happening. But just going back to a topic that we were covering in December, actually, probably going back to November, and whether we're going to get a Santa's rally in the FTSE 100. Indeed, we did. Of course, there was some volatility towards the end of November, which saw the FTSE 100 drop. So we actually saw a 4.6% increase in the FTSE 100 over the month of December. And quite interestingly, it took it up to levels that were very close to pre-pandemic highs in London's main index, which were actually surpassed in the first couple of days of trading. So we saw the FTSE trade above that 7,500 level. Although we have fallen back today, Alan, that's very much down to fears about interest rates coming back in. This is predominantly from the United States and how hawkish some of the members from the Federal Reserve have been there in terms of the number of interest rate hikes they see being put in place this year. I mean, Alan, when you're looking at the FTSE 100, is what's happening in the United States in terms of their interest rate hike cycle and how many they put in, is that going to have a major impact going forward on the FTSE 100, or is it just a bit of confidence being sapped out of markets this morning, seeing the declines in the United States overnight?
Yeah, I think it's a little more than that, John. We see this, of course. We see it's the old story: the Dow sneezes, we catch a cold, and you know, regardless of whether we're in or out of Europe, that seems to continue. So, but I think you know, marketeers and analysts are looking forward, and they've factored in the fact that we're going to probably get a few more interest rate hikes, probably in the region of 0.25% on a couple more occasions throughout the year, which isn't going to impact too heavily, but certainly whilst the US government will push ahead with their strategy, you know, let's not forget they've got this, the Biden administration have approved a $1.9 trillion infrastructure bill, which of course is going to see huge amounts of commodity and resources utilized and purchased from around the world. So that's going to provide a boost for the commodity sector and of course the mining sector, the large mining companies, and the junior sector, the explorers too. So that's going to have a positive effect. Certainly in regard to interest rates in the UK, I think most people have accepted now that we're going to see a couple of interest rate rises. But I'm sure the Bank of England are going to wait and see how the tailing off of the furlough schemes and companies, you know, getting back into the real world. Yeah, we're now at the point where I think there's a general acceptance. Certainly, the World Health Organization has said today that it sees more evidence that Omicron is causing milder symptoms, and it's not the killer that it was first thought to be. Nonetheless, of course, as I said before, this virus is just mutating. So we're talking about Omicron now. There's probably a new variant in the air, maybe milder, maybe more deadly. Who knows? So this is going to be ongoing. We're going to be living with it for the foreseeable future. So I'm sure those factors will be weighing on the indices, and you know, the markets will be looking forward and trying to sort of put a picture together of where the index is going to go. But nonetheless, still a very strong start to the year, and as you say, the Santa rally I think has put the FTSE into a very good position to push to new highs in 2002. We could even see it during quarter one.
Yes, indeed, indeed. And of course, one of the main driving factors behind all of this is, of course, inflation. So a report yesterday from Goldman Sachs that they were seeing interest rate hikes and could actually be some larger than expected interest rate hikes here in the UK, because we could be seeing inflation up and around 6%. That's what a lot of forecasts are showing at the moment. Alan, and this really plays into the first company that we're going to discuss today, because this is coming something that they've come out and said in their trading update that they see causing them some issues going forward. The company's Next. Now, although there's been some warnings there about inflation, they've actually increased their guidance for the year ahead, Alan. And analysts at Hargreaves Lansdown have called Next the jewel in the high street's crown, given the troubles that the overall high street's having. What does their trading look like? And what are the main details there in terms of moving the share price?
It's amazing, isn't it? You can go back over the last 10, 15, 20 years even. And Next has always been a bellwether of the FTSE. They're doing it today in the midst of a COVID crisis. They produced a great performance in the 8 weeks up to Christmas. Sales up 20%, £70 million worth of sales ahead of management expectations. And so they've raised full-year profit guidance by £22 million. So that's up nearly 10% on 2 years ago, which, given what we've come through, is nothing short of astonishing. The company is looking forward and believes full price sales will rise 7% next year, but it's also confident enough to introduce a special dividend of 160p per share. And it says it plans to return to the pre-pandemic ordinary dividend cycle later in the year. But, this is a company that is evergreen, literally. It just seems to be able to deal with any crisis that comes along. And as you rightly say, analysts are fulsome in their praise this morning. Hargreaves Lansdown refers to them as the shining jewel in the high street crown. There are so few bricks and mortar retailers in this position today. We've seen so many companies fall by the wayside. Of course, some of the great British trading high street names have gone to the wall. We've seen Debenhams go. Marks and Spencers are still doing very well, and I think their food business is really going to be the key to their success in future. But when it comes to retailing clothes, there is no one better than Next. I mean, they just seem to have the mix right. They seem to have an almost telepathic insight into the market and what consumers want and what they want to buy going forward. I guess it's down to, I don't think a quarter of a percent or a couple of quarter percent interest rate rises will put any dents in their sales at all. And indeed, Next seem to have a plan in place to deal with pretty well any set of circumstances that arise. So coming out of COVID now, referring to normalization later in the year, the company looks very well placed. But I think it's quite breathtaking that in the middle of this, the most severe pandemic for generations, we're seeing a company that's able to pay a special dividend and a high street retailer at that.
Yes. I mean, I think looking at the share price today as well, it doesn't really reflect the update. I mean, we're looking at this in the context of a FTSE 100, which is down pretty heavily on the day. I think if we were seeing a flat or positive FTSE, we'd be seeing Next shares reacting a little bit more positively than we are today. Certainly, that special dividend is going to be welcomed by investors, although there are concerns there about rising prices going forward. But this is something that we'll have to take in our stride, not only with Next, but a number of other companies listed in London, which are going to be facing similar problems. So just as a note, we're not going to go into too much detail, but we also saw a very strong update from Greggs this morning, another company there that's very highly exposed to the retail market in terms of how their business is structured. They had a very good festive trading period, so it shows there could be some better days to come for the overall sector. But we're going to be keeping a close eye on the companies as they report their festive trading statements over the next week or two. And I'm sure Alan will be discussing some of those on next week's podcast. So now let's just move on to the next company we're going to discuss today. It's one that we've discussed on the podcast previously. And I believe, Alan, this is one that was concluded in one of your picks for 2022. It's ECR. They've had a very interesting update recently. Did an interview with them yesterday. What were the main takeaways from that?
It was a very strong interview. And of course, you know, people or listeners will be aware of the tragic circumstances at the end of 2021, where the chief executive, Craig Brown, who'd been driving the company so hard for so many years, sadly died suddenly. And of course, that has created a number of difficulties. But I interviewed the director and head geologist Adam Jones before Christmas, and he was very bullish. The primary issue they have is that I think Adam said this yesterday. They are so many companies operating in their area, and of course ECR operate in Victoria in Australia. That's where their primary assets are, and that's of course at the Creswick and Baileyston prospects. And Adam said that many companies own land and own licenses in the area, but we're actually the only one with feet on the ground actually drilling and actually developing these assets. And I think that's the marked difference between ECR as a company and a lot of other companies that own assets in that area. And of course, in doing that, they've had to deal with all of the issues of COVID and the challenges that has presented. And for them, they announced some drilling results from the Baileyston HR3 prospect for Christmas, and also some soil sampling, which has given them a deep understanding of the area. And indeed, Adam said yesterday when we got these results back, it was kind of an aha moment. Okay, so that's what we've got. So the geology is revealing itself, and with that comes an understanding of how they can develop the asset, the size of the asset, and of course, ultimately, if they're able to build a mine there. And the other sort of jewel in the ECR crown, if you like, is, and this again was a move by Craig Brown last year, they acquired three properties in the Victoria area, one at the Baileyston Prospect on the Ngambi Rushworth Road, one at Creswick, which of course also on that land there is a tunnel that goes into one of the hills, so they're able to inspect the geology sort of internally, as it were, and also they have a property north of Bendigo where the core shed is, and it's been used already for accommodation and so on. But Adam also outlined the property increases or the increase in property prices and land prices in the area. It's gone through the roof. So, of course, as investments, those assets really help to underwrite the valuation of ECR as a company because they're being used. It also solves some of the key issues that a lot of explorers are finding in the area, and that is actually getting access to land, because a lot of the landowners there won't allow access or do so at a premium because they know that it's such valuable territory. So, of course, at a stroke, by owning the land, there are no issues with permits, no issues with drilling. They can just bring their own equipment, and this is the other act, they have their own drilling equipment. They can bring the team straight on and crack on with it, which is a really important factor when you're looking at drilling. But certainly, speaking to Adam yesterday, we've got these results that there are more assay results that are ready to be processed, and simply they've just not been able to do it because so much stuff has been coming out of the ground. It's been logged, Adam, so they still have some samples that are awaiting logging, and of course they've got to go through the process. They've got to be analysed. The desktop work has to be done in order that they can draw a conclusion from what they're finding. But he's very excited about the opportunities in 2021. There's a lot happening in the first quarter. The drilling teams went back to work yesterday, so they're actually on the ground now. And indeed, one of the soil sample targets that was located at HR3. The team have put a drill right on top of that, so that drilling work started yesterday. So we should be hearing a lot more about that in the coming weeks. The other factor we discussed, of course, were the issue of two new licenses. And they've been awarded, ECR have been awarded a license between their current Creswick license area and the Ballarat, the town of Ballarat. And this is where one of the geological features at Creswick, the Dimmock's Main Shale, which is thought to be the source of alluvial gold. It runs right through the current Creswick license and the new license area too. So they're going to be getting feet on the ground there pretty soon to conduct some preliminary exploration work. The company currently, it's trading at 1.27p, giving a market cap of just on 13 million. As I say, you know, a chunk of that's underwritten by the properties they own already and the assets they have, and of course their own drilling equipment. So I think ECR are a very sound prospect for this space in 2022, and there's a very exciting outlook, and I'm sure we're going to hear more as we go forward. There's also, of course, likely to be an appointment of a new chief executive or perhaps chief ops officer at some time during quarter one too. But very exciting space and a very exciting 2022 and prospect for ECR.
Yeah, certainly looking at what the share price has done over the past year and the current valuation you just mentioned there, Alan. Any positive news from those projects that they're working on? Could probably see the share price moving, but indeed investors may have to be impatient as money will have been over the past year with this company. But yeah, certainly looking at the shares now, do look good value considering where they've been and the projects that they're working on. So I'm sure one that we'll be updating the podcast on when we get more information. So moving on now, Alan. So this is a company we're going to discuss now, which is actually set to be listing in London a little bit later on this year. It's going to be a spin out from Power Metal Resources, which is another company that you included in your 2022 picks. It's Golden Metal Resources. Now, this is probably a company that many listeners haven't heard of before. People familiar with Power Metal Resources will be, given that they were included in their quarterly business update yesterday. It was something they were earmarking for an IPO this year. Alan, would you be able to give us some details on Golden Metal Resources?
Yeah, certainly. Golden Metal Resources, well, as you mentioned there, John, Power Metal Resources, one of our tips for 2022, issued its quarterly business update. And part of the strategy of Power Metal Resources, it has numerous projects around the world, as I've outlined previously, operations in USA, in Canada, in Africa, that's Botswana, Tanzania, and the DRC, and also, of course, in Australia. That's also, like ECR, they have the new Ballarat Gold Company, so they've got licensed territories in and around the Victoria area, and also in Western Australia, where there's another joint venture company, another spin-out company being prepared, which is FDR. And part of the strategy of Power Metal is to develop these assets and either work on them directly, as they're doing, say, with the Molopo Farmers project in Botswana, or to spin them out. And the first spin out from the company is Golden Metal Resources, they've packaged up the assets that were originally Power Metal assets in Nevada in the USA, and these are all geologically pretty close together. So, of course, from a management standpoint, from an operational standpoint, they have a team on the ground now in the States running this. The non-exec chairman is David Avardia, a British geologist who's worked all around the world. He's had a career spanning some 30 years. And Oliver Friesen, who's the chief executive and CEO, 10 years in mining and oil and gas sectors. And he was most recently chief executive of Vancouver-based Golden Lion Resources. And that was focused in Idaho in the USA. So he's very, Oliver is very familiar with the area and working in the area and arranging all the necessary infrastructure and so on. Paul Johnson, CEO of Power Metal, of course, is an executive director on the board too, so he brings his experience and expertise. But this is a package of assets. Firstly, we have the Pilot Mountain asset, which is 100% owned by Gold Metal, and this is a huge project that is prospective for tungsten, with also traces of copper and gold and zinc in the copper, silver and zinc in the within the asset as well. There's a in 2018 a scoping study was undertaken and published for an open pit mine, building an open pit mine there with an 8-year mine life, and there is huge upside exploration potential, which the group will be commencing work on later on this year once the IPO takes place, which is estimated to be in April this year. So we're very close to this. And Pilot Mountain really is the jewel in the crown. Then there are exploration assets at the Golconda Summit property, which is within the Walker Lane belt, and the Walker Lane belt is very it's an asset rich environment in Nevada. There are many companies operating there. The Golconda Summit is 35 kilometers southwest of Nevada Gold Mines Turquoise Ridge project, and it's northwest of SSR Mining's Marigold Mine, and these are all mines that are producing both gold and silver. The Garfield property, again, nearby as well, in Mineral County, Nevada, and again these are prospective for copper and also gold as well. The Stonewall property is close to the gold mining town of Nye County in Nevada. Again, within the mineral within the Walker Lane mineral belt, and rock sampling there has produced some pretty impressive samples and results, both in gold and with silver. And again, the area is very rich for that. So the timeline for the company, it's raised its initial pre-IPO money of $750,000. When it lists, it's listing in London in April. The work that's been done already, of course, is I mentioned the primary asset, which is the Pilot Mountain asset, and due diligence has been undertaken on that project already. There is a JORC 2012 compliant mineral resource estimate of 12.5 million tons of tungsten, of course we will further work will be done on that to update that that asset going forward. But nonetheless, this is right at the start. It's the first of a number of spin-outs from Power Metal, and of course once this comes to market, it will be a very exciting opportunity in its own right, but it will also serve to bolster and add great value to the Power Metal Resources balance sheet. So it will be a win-win both for shareholders in Gold Metal Resources and, of course, Power Metal Resources.
Indeed, it sounds like there's a number of exciting projects there for Golden Metal Resources. But before we just wrap things up, Adam, would you be able to just give us a bit of background on other potential spin-outs from Power Metal Resources? I know they've got a number of different projects that they're working on, companies that could be potentially spun out of the main company, Power Metal Resources. Are there any that are on the cards for later on this year as well?
Yes, there certainly are. Well, I mentioned FDR, that's in Western Australia. So they have an asset, they have a uranium asset and a copper and gold asset in the Paterson province, which is owned by FDR in Australia, and FDR is set to be spun out at some point later on this year. We then have what was originally Red Rock Australasia, which has now been renamed the New Ballarat Gold Company, that owns the assets in Victoria. And again, you know, given where ECR, given the progress ECR are making there, that's a very exciting prospect, and that will be spun off at some point. We then come to Canada. Power Metal have the Silver Peak project, and of course the Silver Peak project is in the region of the Eureka silver mine in British Columbia, which was a producing mine, and again the area is just absolutely rich with silver, so the great opportunity there. And it's you know, the pound metal said last year that the quality of that asset alone, they could see it being a huge successful standalone company in its own right. And indeed, that they are making moves to put that in place. And of course, well, we've spoken about gold metal, and there will be, if we go to Africa, there is a joint venture with Kavango Resources, also one of my picks for the year too. You know, Kavango doing great work with the Kalahari Sutures zone there, and there's an asset there which could be absolutely vast in scale, and they're developing that. There's a joint venture with Power Metal, which is called Kenya Resources, and we expect to have news on that spin-off later on the year. So yeah, there's, I mean, literally a day goes past and something changes with Power Metal. It's such a fast developing company because there are so many different assets within the group. And yeah, that's why it's one of my picks for the year, because as I've said on many occasions, it just needs one of these assets to turn into to be developed into a mine or a major discovery made. And that the value of that discovery alone, as we've seen, for instance, with Greatland Gold, the Havarian discovery, you know, it's dwarfed the market cap of the company when that discovery was made. So, you know, with Power Metal, you've got 14 different opportunities for the same thing happening.
Indeed. And this is going to be something that we're discussing on the podcast as we get further information and updates on these IPOs and potential spin-outs from Power Metal. So certainly an interesting story there for 2022. So just a recap of the stocks we discussed today. First off was Next, which trades under the ticker of NXT. It was then ECR with the ticker of ECR. And just then was Golden Metal Resources, which is going to be spun out of Power Metal Resources. And Power Metal Resources has a ticker of POW. Alan, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thanks very much, John.
So just a note for listeners, we'll be kicking off our series of virtual events again in February. We have an event with the Aquis Exchange featuring three companies from the Aquis Exchange, as well as a keynote speech from the Aquis CEO. So do check out our events section on the UK Investor Magazine website. We'll be able to register for that. Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.